Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to RADCOM Ltd. third quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded November 6th, 2017. On the call today is Mr. Yaron Ravkay, RADCOM CEO, and Mr. Ran Vered, RADCOM CFO. By now, we assume you have seen the earnings press release, which was issued earlier today. It is available on all major financial news feeds. Please note that management has prepared a presentation for your reference that will be used during the call. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, please send Mark Rolston an email at markr@radcom.com, and he will send it to you right away. Before we begin, I would like to review the safe harbor provision. Forward-looking statements in the conference call involve a number of risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the company's statements about its 2017 revenue guidance, future recognition of revenues under existing contracts, cash available for new opportunities, strategy, market share growth and extension of its leadership position, potential pipeline and opportunities, investments in research and development to support the company's growth, expected continuance of the company's momentum for the remainder of 2017, AT&T's continuance as an important customer and key reference, and its plans to virtualize approximately 55% of their network by the end of 2017 and 75% in the longer term, industry trends and projected sales cycles, orders, engagements, and expanding relationship with top-tier carriers. The company does not undertake to update forward-looking statements. The full safe harbor provisions, including risks that can cause actual results to differ from those forward-looking statements, are outlined in the presentation and the company's SEC filings. In this conference call, management will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, which are provided to enhance the user's overall understanding of the company's financial performance. By excluding certain non-cash stock-based compensation expenses, non-GAAP results provide information that is useful in assessing RADCOM's core operating performance and in evaluating and comparing our results of operation on a consistent basis from period to period. The presentation of this additional information is not meant to be considered a substitute for the corresponding financial measures prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Investors are encouraged to review the reconciliation of GAAP to non-GAAP financial measures, which are included in the quarter's earnings release. I would like to repeat the information about the performance presentation. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, send Mark an email at markr@radcom.com, and he will send it to you shortly. Now, I'd like to turn over the call to Yaron. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, operator, and thank you all for joining us today. We were very pleased with our execution during the third quarter as we continued to make great progress on our key initiatives. To start, we are very excited about the new NFV contract we signed with a world-leading top-tier service provider. As we stated in Q2, we finalized a very comprehensive NFV trial with this customer and are pleased to have formalized the relationship, which covers assurance for a virtualized network domain and provides a framework for additional orders by the operator. We expect that the revenue from this initial phase may contribute over $5 million of revenue in 2018 and can potentially grow above that within the contract framework. Additionally, our relationship with AT&T continues to grow as we signed another expansion during the quarter. AT&T continues to reiterate how important network virtualization is to increase their operational efficiency. On their most recent earnings calls, they highlighted the significant efficiencies they continue to realize by moving to a software-defined network. In particular, AT&T stated that as of the third quarter, 45% of the network functions were virtualized and reiterated its ability to reach 55% by year end, with a longer term goal of 75% or more. As a result, we continue to expect AT&T to remain an important customer and key reference for the company as we continue to play a major part in their network virtualization strategy over the coming years. We continue to expand with other customers as well, signing a three-year contract extension with Globe Telecom, the leading operator in the Philippines, with over 60 million customers, to monitor their mobile network and assure their future transformation to NFV. We originally signed an agreement with them in 2011, and since that time, we've received two multi-million dollar expansion orders. Our virtual solution is resonating well in today's environment, and we will be virtualizing our implementation with this operator, supporting their migration to NFV. The company continues to focus on the operators that are either planning or migrating to NFV, or those that have already begun their NFV transformations. We continue seeing the industry gravitating around OpenStack as the operating system for cloud networks, as well as ONAP, being the open source standard for advanced service and network orchestration. During the quarter, the Vodafone Group, one of the world's largest service providers with operations in 26 countries, has joined ONAP as a platinum member. We're closely following these industry trends, which are very favorable to RADCOM, as AT&T continues to drive the underlying architecture and requirements, and we're a major part of this ecosystem. We believe that as more service providers transition to NFV, the technology maturity and standardization with ONAP will drive more operators to transform their networks. Our product leadership, coupled with our very advanced cloud-native product, has generated significant interest amongst leading operators, and we continue to execute lab trials and workshops that demonstrate our deep network expertise, virtualization know-how, and product leadership. This is invaluable for operators migrating their networks to NFV. We expect these activities to yield additional engagements with more operators. We continue our R&D investment to assure we can aggressively move on all fronts to engage with multiple operators while we continuing to advance our product and providing both our current and potential customers the validation they need to see that RADCOM is a long-term partner for their assurance needs. Given our strong and growing pipeline of opportunities, we're confident that our investment in infrastructure will continue to pay off, allowing us to capture additional opportunities. With our recent underwritten public offering, we've added approximately $30.2 million. This ever-strong balance sheet will allow us to execute on our strategy, facilitating engagements and the delivering of additional projects for multiple top-tier operators. Now, moving on to our results for the third quarter. We are very pleased with our third quarter results, as you can see on slide 5. Revenues for the quarter increased by 25% year-over-year to $9.6 million. Our GAAP net income was $1.2 million, or 10 cents per share. We achieved a non-GAAP net income of $1.7 million, or 14 cents per diluted share. Similar to the past few quarters, we are focused on continuing our very close relationship with AT&T, executing on newly won top-tier contract, expansions with current customers, turning trials into new customers, all this while we're investing in our engineering resources as we move to a new phase and prepare for more top-tier operators. The ongoing progress during the third quarter highlights the advantage of being a first mover in this space and to participating in the most aggressive transformation today. Our approach to demonstrating our very advanced cloud-native platform coupled with our deep knowledge is resonating with customers, and we expect the momentum to continue during the remainder of the year and beyond. So to summarize, We were very pleased with our execution during the third quarter, given that RADCOM remains the go-to NFV vendor for virtual pro-based service assurance and customer experience management. We are well positioned to maintain the momentum. With that, I will stop and turn the call over to Ran Vered, our CFO, to discuss the financial results. Ran, please.
Thank you, Aaron. Since you have the financial results, I will just go over the highlights in slide 6. To help you understand the results, I will be referring mainly to non-GAAP numbers, which exclude share-based compensation. Revenue for the quarter were $9.6 million, up 25% year-over-year. Our gross margin for the quarter was 68% on a non-GAAP basis. This was impacted by a peak in AT&T project delivery efforts that shifted part of our operating expenses into cost of revenues, as most of our revenue this quarter was from AT&T. This shift in the gross margin has neutral impact on our operating income. We expect 2017 annual revenue from AT&T to be somewhat above 60% as a result of the expansion order we signed with them in the third quarter. As a reminder, we expect gross margin to continue to fluctuate depending upon the mix of each quarter's revenue. Our gross R&D for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis increased to $2.2 million from $1.8 million in the third quarter of 2016. Also, we received approximately $155,000 from Israel Innovation Authority during the period, compared to $385,000 in the third quarter of last year. As a result, our net R&D for the quarter was $2 million compared to $1.4 million last year. After the end of the quarter, we received approval from the Israel Innovation Authority for an additional grant for 2017, impacting the fourth quarter with an additional approximately $800,000 of grants. Sales and marketing expenses for the quarter decreased to $2.2 million on a non-GAAP basis from $2.3 million in the third quarter of 2016. G&A expenses for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis totaled $790,000 compared to $690,000 in the third quarter of 2016. Operating income on a non-GAAP basis for the quarter was $1,519,000 compared with $994,000 for the third quarter of 2016. Net income for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis was $1,669,000 or 14 cents per diluted share. On a GAAP basis, as you can see on slide 5, we reported net income for the quarter of approximately $1,183,000 or 10 cents per diluted share. At the end of the third quarter, our headcount was 202 employees. We expect this number to increase by approximately 10 to 15 employees over the course of the coming months. Turning to balance sheet, as you can see in slide 9, our cash and cash equivalent at the end of the quarter was $33.6 million. This, combined with our recent public offering, places the company on very strong footing for addressing top-tier opportunities. Now turning to guidance. With our current visibility, we are updating our fiscal 2017 guidance range to $36.6 to $37.8 million, as the revenue recognition for our new world-leading top-tier contract will be in 2018. As a reminder, we view and continue to manage our business on an annual basis because our quarterly results can fluctuate due to the timing of implementation milestones. That ends our prepared remarks. Yaron and I will turn it back to the operator so we can take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Alex Henderson of Needham & Company. Alex, please go ahead.
Great. I was wondering if you could tell us what the ending share count would be if you take the ending share count plus the share count on on the offering, just so everybody's on the same page on the share count?
13.2 million shares.
And the second question is, can you explain that gross margin explanation again? Not sure I quite gathered why it dipped down and why that doesn't impact things. So is there an offset down in the in the R&D line or something? What?
Yeah, exactly. Alex. It's an offset to the R&D and sales and marketing. It was just a shift from mainly from R&D to cost of revenues because the peak of the revenue of AT&T this quarter.
So if that's the case, what's the size of that nut so that I assume that doesn't happen again in the fourth quarter, right?
It depends on how much revenue we are going to recognize on the fourth quarter from AT&T, but it was the impact of roughly $800K from OPEX to cost of revenue.
Okay, so we should assume then going forward a reversion back to 71 and put $800K back into the expenses to get the for the forecast on expenses going into the December quarter?
That is correct.
All right. And the 800 in NRE, I assume you don't have any guidance for 18 on that.
No, we don't. And as we discussed just, the recent quarter when actually they declined some of our projects, some of our grants, we made an appeal and actually we just got it after this quarter end, an upside of $800K compared to what we discussed in the last quarter. And for 2018, we just don't have any guidance yet.
We submit the plans just at the at the end of 2017, and we get responses during Q1, but sometimes into Q2. So only then we know.
I see. Okay. Can you just a couple of just details? The headcount and the T as a percentage of revenues?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Just headcount and T as a percentage of revenues?
So what's the question? We mentioned it.
We mentioned the headcount is 202 employees, and we expect that in the coming months, something between 10 to 15 employees will join.
Right. And AT&T as a percentage of revenues?
78% in Q3, and as for the year, for all 2017, it will be somewhat above 60%.
Tad above 60%.
In the quarter, it was 78%?
Correct.
And does that take the 800,000 down, or does it doesn't adjust for anything of that sort, right? That's just straight revenues?
Yeah, straight revenues.
Okay, good. Can you talk, last question, then I'll see you at the floor. Can you talk about where you are in terms of how many active trials you have going and where you are on those trials? Can you give us any sense of the scale of the customers that you're doing trials with that have not been closed?
So we continue to engage with multiple top-tier carriers. Everyone, I think, that we're engaging now is either a group or a very large OPCO or an OPCO that's part of a very large group. So everything has a strategic importance. The progress is a lot dependent at this stage on their NAV strategy. Some are slower to move and some are starting to move. The ones that are starting to move, we're already taking into consideration. We'll be able to convert some of them into wins in 2018. Now, I don't know yet if to give cadence on exactly when is the next win, but I think you saw our execution this year. We've landed a very significant one, and, we feel very good now about the pipeline, and I actually feel good about the way that that the industry is moving. And, this is why we mentioned Vodafone joining ONAP and now everything being corralled around ONAP. So, it's an industry that's being disrupted. It's very hard to predict exactly the pace. But I think, again, we feel very good about it. Maybe one last comment, we're starting to look at how we look at next year and growth and things like that, and we already see some line of sight from where we're at today into 20% growth. So we're starting to gravitate around the thinking of how next year will look like, and this is like our very initial preliminary view.
All right, I'll see the floor. Thanks.
The next question is from Dimitri Nettis of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Nice results in the quarter. A couple of questions. On the kind of going back to the AT&T extension, can you discuss what application is this? Is this an additional kind of application you're providing? If I did the math correctly, it would imply about $2 million additional order, just for the year. If you go from kind of a 55% to 60%, that sort of implies $2 million. So that is your order, it sounds like, and you seem to have received it all in September quarter. Is that, what application, and B, will we see additional expansion within that application as we go, into 18?
So I don't, like, if the question is it around like a new system or something like that, it's more of several things lumped together into one activity, so in one expansion order. So I can't really point it into a certain direction. It's in the nature of everything that we've been doing, their mobile network and rolling it out and all the technologies. It's a lot of things that they needed us to do around that.
So is that a one-time thing, Yaron, or is that kind of a new development that will give rise to additional orders as you bring in new feature functionality to that piece of the network or that part of the network?
This expansion is a one-time, but we expect different type of expansions as they need them to occur. Some of them also one-time in nature over the years. So it's built into their model that they do expansions on this product and on this project here and there.
Okay, great. And then going back to the Tier 1 contract you announced last quarter, it sounds like it's a $5 million what you're baking in into the model, and that's a 2018 event. Can you discuss, is it Q1? You're going to get most of that in Q1, Q2. How should we think about the revenue recognition there?
So we didn't disclose exactly which quarter. We're more comfortable saying something more like the first half that it will impact, but it's tied to milestones that are tied to their milestones, so it can fluctuate between quarters. Also, the $5 million you need to think of as an initial number. Okay, the framework itself is bigger. We didn't disclose the size of the framework. And also, there's things that we're discussing with this operator also beyond the framework that they signed. So we're in an active, positive relationship with a lot of potential. But, it's going to take time also to grow that potential. It's something very strategic. And we're making, also the right investments in how we operate with this top-tier carrier.
Yaron, do you think that relationship could grow to be larger than your current AT&T's relationship or orders that you've committed to or been committed?
Potentially, yes, but on a multi-year view. So, beyond 18 and maybe even beyond part of 19.
Okay, very good. You look at two standards sort of developing. You mentioned OpenStack and then ONAP. Obviously, AT&T is driving the ONAP initiative, and you'd mentioned Vodafone now stepping in. It does sound like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the standardization that just happened over the last 6-9 months, is that giving a push to some of the Tier 1 operators that's been dragging feet potentially, waiting for these standards to evolve, Are we at the stage where, you know, it's pretty clear the way it's going to go, kind of the NFV initiative and the two camps developing here, and as a result, there will be additional, you know, tier one engagements that will be pulled in or reaccelerated from here on. Is that a fair characterization, or we're not there yet?
I think we're not there yet. I think we're like one step before. I think the industry is gravitating. So I would say the industry now is divided basically into two families. Okay, one family is initiatives that are gravitating around the open source initiatives. And ONAP seems to be the winner, but it will need to take a little bit more time to really declare it the winner, but also to mature the ONAP standards. So ONAP started from, you know, AT&T going and open sourcing eComp, then bringing China Telecom and China Mobile on board. Then additional carriers started to join. Of course, the initial ones that joined eComp also became part of ONAP. And now they're working on, you know, the new architectures and open source code and things that are beyond the AT&T architecture. So it will be more fitting, you know, than to like the things that AT&T architected initially for themselves. So that takes some time, but I think definitely it's in the right direction. It's definitely a move. And a significant move to what we saw, let's say, like 7-8 months ago. And I think this, you know, this industry, just think about it, the telecommunications in some case, in this NFV is being like reinvented, okay? So with moving these networks to the cloud. So the carriers are starting to adopt it. I don't think anyone is saying, okay, look, this is not going to happen and something else will happen. I think it's just the pace that it will happen. As I think now we see, you know, an initial step in some, but we haven't reached the, let's say, acceleration, cookie cutter, factory stage that everybody's doing it. The second part, by the way, is not the open source initiative, is the network equipment provider initiatives. You know, Ericsson coming with their own initiatives, Huawei coming with their own initiatives, Nokia coming with their own initiatives, and they all gravitate around some sort of an open stack architecture, but it's a commercial open stack architecture where they provide all the underlying infrastructure. They basically provide the cloud running on an open stack architecture, but they add like their flavor to it. So we see already carriers starting to adopt some of theirs. By the way, that addressable market is also very addressable to us because it's running OpenStack and open standards, and we're integrating to it, and we actually part of the proof of concepts and activities that we've done were in both architectures. So we're, I think, in a very good position to enjoy these type of progressions that are happening in the industry.
Okay, very helpful. My last question sort of goes to the competitive landscape. If there's any change that you're seeing now that you won two large tier ones, you kind of continuing to expand within those tier ones. Clearly the product's resonating. How are the competitors responding to that? Anything you see? We did see some consolidation in service assurance space and virtual probe space this quarter. Is that a testament to the market sort of coming into its own? And if so, you know, does that potentially kind of help you given maybe some initial near-term disruption from these consolidation plays? Or do you see anything else out there? So just kind of give us some sense what competitors are doing from your vantage point.
Okay, so again, this is my view. I think the industry, the pole-based service assurance, is fragmented in a way on the legacy equipment side, and you know, software is also legacy when you look at these virtualization efforts. And you know, everybody knows NetScout acquired Tektronix, so NetScout has a large portion of that legacy space. And then there's different companies, mostly private companies, that have you know, a much smaller portion of the market that you know, were at the size of RADCOM before, you know, we won like, you know, pre-2016. So when we were running, you know, at the $20 million range, some a little bigger, some, you know, I think none of them pass, if all my information is correct, the three-digit revenue mark. So though we don't see any significant announcements or movement, or we're not seeing also from the customers any discussion that there's a better product than we are. We see once in a while some companies claiming to say that they do something in software or they do something in NAV, but when we scratch the surface, we don't see that there's anything mature, for sure not production mature, and nothing that we're hearing is impressing you know, customers. So we feel pretty good that we continue to maintain a significant leadership, that our biggest differentiator, you know, is the fact that we're running in a full cloud-native architecture with very high automation. Everything is built, you know, to the AT&T standard and now to this additional top-tier carrier. You know, the combination of these two carriers working and pushing with us, also together with Globe now that's starting to migrate the to NAV, we're in a very good position, and you know, we feel that we can probably maintain it in the near future. For sure, from you know, for sure we will maintain it from the leadership and product leadership, but we don't see anything coming up. We're not hearing about anything you know, from the industry basically.
All right, thank you very much. Keep up the good work, Jim.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mike Arnold. Please go ahead.
Hi, Yaron. Hi, Ran. I had a quick question about the new world-leading top-tier operator you disclosed this quarter. In the past, we've sort of discussed that a lot of these trials were RADCOMs to lose. I was curious if this was a competitive bake-off situation or if the customer only trialed your software.
It wasn't a formal RFP. This customer is very familiar with the, you know, additional players in the industry, or was already familiar, and they weren't familiar with us, and they spent, I think, you know, almost like, I would say 6 to 7 months in very deep reviews and labs and, you know, certifications and working with their cloud teams, et cetera, with us. So, you know, that was the situation. They were very impressed from the get-go, also from the first time that we showed them the technology.
Okay. So I guess my next question is, I'm curious, did they invite their incumbent vendor to participate in the an RFP?
It wasn't an RFP, I said.
Oh, it wasn't, okay. But the incumbent vendor wasn't really a part of this this particular trial. They weren't invited to it.
So the way it typically works, and this is not only for this trial, it's for many, you know, this industry behaves almost very similar, all the carriers, that when you have an incumbent vendor, okay, then you're very familiar with their technology. So you don't need to invite them in. They're already running in your network.
Okay. Okay.
I repeat, if there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for questions. The next question is from George Marama. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
I was trying this new tier one U1 in Q3. Is a contract with them a software as a service style deal, or is it more like a license deal like you had with AT&T?
It's a bit complicated, okay, because there's a it's a license deal, but it looks like more like a subscription deal, so it can grow gradually.
And how does it scale? Does it scale with additional traffic, different network elements? How does it scale up?
Both. Exactly those two.
I see. Okay. And then on this recent capital raise, what was the rationale to raise an additional $30 million capital base? Because you have almost $65 million now in cash, and you're not losing money. Well, what's the rationale for that?
So first of all, we had a decent balance sheet before, as you mentioned. We work with the top tier carriers. Okay, these carriers, they work with the Ciscos of the world, the IBMs of the world, the Ericssons of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Companies that are completely different size than we are. Companies that have been around for many, many years and they have never been, you know, in any type of trouble. And the reason why they did business with them in the past is that, and they all actually, you know, probably paid premiums for it, is that some of it is because they're very large companies. Now, when you move now with this disruption that's happening, it allows companies that are, you know, software in their DNA, cloud in their DNA like ours, to really make an impact. Hence we want AT&T, hence we want this additional top tier care. But one of the things that we need is to have the, now I'm exaggerating to make a point, but to have the optics of a Cisco, okay? And this is the main reason why we wanted to do the offering. We engage now with two, we believe that we will be engaged with more, all of them top tier. They all look at your viability and they want to do business with you. They want the, you know, beyond the CEO's verbal assurance that we will be around for years and years to come with a growth strategy, with a very firm financials. And now we even have a better position on that that will help us. The midterm looking beyond that is that we did some portfolio expansion when we started AT&T. I mentioned, I think, in some of the calls that we are looking to do some portfolio expansions in the future. One of the ways that we will want to do, that we might want to do portfolio expansion is using M&A as a tool. So this will allow us to start to look at this type of approach as well. Again, not under any type of pressure, but to make sure that we bolster our offering and we continue to be very aggressive and disruptive and innovative.
Okay, and the secondary offering, it sold very, very fast. Was there a strategic investor involved?
No.
Your relationship with VMware, can you describe how deep that relationship is or how that works?
I don't think we disclosed any type of relationship with VMware, so I can't discuss it.
All right, well, thank you, Yaron.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Mike Arnold. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, one more quick question about Vodafone since you brought it up on the call. I think on September 11th, if I get the timeline here right, they announced they joined ONAP, and I believe the very next day on September 12th, you guys put out a press release that David Omzalog had joined RADCOM as a special strategic advisor, who of course was the former head of NFV at Vodafone. I'm just curious, why and how some of these players are choosing to work with RADCOM. If you could give us some color on that. Thanks.
So I'm not sure I understood the question. Why does David Omzalog want to work with RADCOM?
Yeah, I'm just curious why, you know, you're attracting some thought leaders in the industry. I'm curious, you know, why they're coming to work with you.
Okay. So, look, I think even when you take like a broader look and at the entire leadership of the company, okay, we were able to attract over the course from, including myself, by the way, and maybe I'll brag about the team and not myself, but the top talent in the industry. This, I think, has to do with the leadership and has to do with the growth strategy that we've executed, and I think you've seen in the last almost 2 years that how we've grown the R&D and how we're able to execute and do that. So we have a very compelling strategy. Okay, we're disruptors in a market, in an industry that's getting disrupted. Okay, the industry is split into two, okay, where the major, big, huge players are the ones that are getting disrupted. And then, you know, smaller companies like ours that are growing are able to disrupt them, whether, you know, they're public like ours, but also private as well, with this technology shift. This has a very strong appeal to people that really understand the industry. And I believe that someone like David is someone that was influenced by that appeal, but is, of course, not the only one. Yeah. So at the
end, okay, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. So just to summarize, so you know, we have very, very strong technology. We get to work now with we've increased the number just now of the major operators we work with. Okay, so all of our teams get to do cool stuff in a disrupting industry and push business ahead and be successful.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from George Marama. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, hi, about a week or two ago, AT&T had their AT&T Summit. And during the summit, there's a lot of disclosures around how they tie into their different platforms, a service orchestration into their integrated cloud. And a lot of the stuff they're using, that they talk about, marketing and cybersecurity and all these other capabilities around this integrated cloud. And I was wondering that since it seems like they use packet inspection and technologies like that, would RADCOM have any opportunities in something like that?
So, look, we have a lot of opportunities in AT&T. So, we're sitting in a major part of their architecture, supporting their transition to NFV. They're a very, very innovative company. All the time they launch new offerings. They expose their platforms, outside, and they push everything forward, and they're making a lot of it public. So I think the answer is yes. We have many opportunities in AT&T to do a lot of work, both on our core, just blocking and tackling, and also on new initiatives that they bring, since, all the packets flow through our solution. So we can do a lot of innovative stuff with them in the future. I would say that the number one priority for us now is to make sure that they're successful in their NFV migration. Okay, so don't expect us coming up with like crazy innovative stuff with them, every quarter now, but definitely in the future, and we've already started discussing some of these things with them.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. This concludes the RADCOM's LTD third quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.